Hello and welcome to Hustle, a new podcast providing industry advice for women in music. Are you passionate about music and want to stop the hustle and make your dreams a reality? Then this is the podcast for you. Not only do I interview other female artists, but labels, promoters, collectives, and everything in between. I also dive into the nitty-gritty business and marketing side. You can expect positive energy, motivation, a lot of laughs, and of course, inspiring guests. Hosted by myself, Eliza, the founder of Good Vibes Only Music, I'm a full-time DJ and entrepreneur. Thank you for listening. Please follow and subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Peace, love, and good vibes always. Saya is a UK-based DJ, producer. She's also an event organiser, plus a radio host with an interestingly varied palette. Her intriguing fusion of deep, uplifting tech house and disco house puts her into a promising niche position within the industry, as her standout sonic signature draws attention from the crowd.
Saya, how are you doing? Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, yes. It's just so nice to catch up with you.
Oh, I know. I miss talking to you. Yeah. No, so this is good. It's making me happy.
Yeah, my ninja partner.
Yeah, definitely.
So, mate, I don't know if you want to, like, tell people a little bit about yourself, how you got into music. I mean, I think your story is pretty interesting. If there isn't something you haven't done, you're about to do it. So, yeah, please let us know how you got into music and how you started your production journey.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. I mean, I think I've always been into music as such, like all of us DJs and producers. It's our passion. But how I got into music is many, many moons ago, actually, a little bit different to just kind of starting DJing, but I used to be a ballroom and Latin dancer.
Ooh!
Yeah, I know, Strictly Come Dancing style. That's one of my favorite programs, as cheesy as it is. But yeah, so when I was 11 years old, I started as a ballroom dancer. And since then, obviously, music took me away because I got exposed to so many different genres of music with waltz and, you know, cha-cha and rumba and, you know, all of that stuff. So I was living and breathing music every day because I was competitive ballroom and Latin dancer, which meant I was practicing every day with my partner. We were competing every weekend for 12 years. So it was pretty intense.
That's amazing. And I think actually when you came out here to Morzine, you were doing a little bit of your, like, dancing.
And, always. There's any opportunity?
Yeah.
Any opportunity to shake my hips, I will. I was living, you know, I was completely immersed in music constantly, all the time. But then, you know, obviously how I kind of started DJing was because I unfortunately had to stop ballroom dancing. It just wasn't possible anymore when, you know, you have your career. And obviously I moved from Finland to UK and it was more difficult to access these clubs where you would find your partner, dance with them and go competing and so forth. So I had to kind of leave that dancing career behind. But then I thought, well, how can I still be immersed in music constantly rather than just going clubbing, which is something I've done all my life as well.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, you know, all of us. So I thought, you know, and also it was because the thing with ballroom dancing obviously was that I had to rely on a partner. So we had to do everything together, had to kind of tie our schedule so that we can practice, we can go to competitions and, you know, all of that stuff. So I thought, how can I be immersed in music but not having to rely on anybody else's schedule but mine? So yeah. Then kind of DJing came to my mind. I don't know. It just popped into my mind. You know, I can have decks and I can kind of play with the decks and play whatever music I want to play. And, you know, I am my own boss. I can decide when I play it. And if one day I play somewhere out, it's my decision as well. So yeah, I bought these little tiny decks at home and I had no idea what to do with them in the beginning. I was trying to learn myself and I was like, oh my God, this sounds terrible. It sounds horrible. So I thought I need some professional help.
Yeah. <you know?
laughs> In more ways than one sometimes. But yeah, so I thought, okay, yeah, I need to do something because I really like kind of, you know, this idea of DJing is kind of cool. So I signed up with LSA, London Sound Academy.
Yep.
And I became a student of theirs and went through all of their courses. And then I graduated from the DJ courses. And yeah, I've been a DJ ever since. And it kind of took me away. I started to play out in venues and clubs. And, you know, you just love it so much. You build this passion towards just making crowds so happy and making yourself happy as well. You're still immersed in music, but you're making other people happy as well.
Yeah.
And I'm a social butterfly, and I love club environment and the whole scene. So you know, I got to be in that environment as well. So that's how I became a DJ. And now, obviously, with lockdown, I can't do too much of it.
No.
But that's all of us. So I'm looking forward to the day when I can go back to gigging. But especially during lockdown, but already, you know, about 2-3 years ago, I thought, well, how about kind of taking this career a step further? So I became interested in how to make these beats myself.
Yeah.
So I'm a big house head. I love house music. And I was like, you know, I'm playing all these producers and artists, amazing tracks and tunes and so forth. But then I thought, well, maybe I could have a stab at it as well. You know, maybe I have this talent I don't know about, you know. So I started producing maybe 3 years ago now and did a course on that as well. Needed professional help with that too.
And was that with the LSA as well, was it? The London Sound Academy? Yeah.
No, this wasn't actually with LSA. So this was with Hertfordshire School of Music.
Cool.
Or Academy of Music. So I studied there as a student. Everybody else was like, you know, youngsters, 15 years old and 20. And then there's me like, hello, you know. But yeah, so I studied there production. And then obviously I self-studied as well. So went through a lot of online courses and just dabbled with the different systems myself and kind of self-taught myself to learn more and more and more. I still have so much to learn. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm quite young producer, if you like. So, but yeah, it's fun. I like it. And, you know, I'm going to have a stab at it. Why not? I love making beats and coming up with ideas. And, you know, when you actually finish something that's your own and you came up with and play it out, I got to do that a few times before lockdown. So it's quite whether people like it or not, obviously, I hope they like it. It's quite an amazing feeling when you play something from big speakers and PAs and it's something that you made from the start. So yeah. I've been doing production quite a lot during lockdown since I've had quite a lot of time.
Yeah.
You know, learn more of that.
You say having a stab at it. You've actually got releases on, is it Sitcone Records? Sorry.
Yeah. So
another one. What's the other one? Well, apart from I Am the Music, which we will delve into a bit later, but it's Ride Music as well, isn't it? So you've got music coming out on a couple of labels this year. We've already had some already, right?
Yeah. So Sitcone Records is one,
that's it.
And Ride Music is another. And yeah, I got signed up actually during lockdown, so that was quite exciting. Yeah. So they found me online in, I think they found me on SoundCloud or an Instagram and where I post little clips of my work and so forth. So, and I do believe lockdown has been good in that way because I guess labels have had more time to scout talent and so forth and kind of be online. Everybody's online at the moment. What else is there? So I got discovered, so to speak, and I was quite happy about that. And I never been really signed to a label, so I didn't know what that means. You know, how is that journey going to look like?
Yeah.
But I'll have a stab at that too, you know. So I said, yes, where do I sign? And let's see how it goes. And they can help me and support me, hopefully, and give me guidance on how to improve my sound and, you know, things like that.
That's amazing. That's so cool. And I think I remember, like, the first lockdown, you were the first person to be on Twitch live streaming. You were everywhere yet again. You know, it wasn't as it was like COVID. No, see you later. I'm still doing my stuff. I'm out there. I'm present. I'm in people's faces. It was really inspirational. Really great.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Well, you know, I had to keep my passion alive, and I was missing people, and you know, DJing. Obviously, I wanted to, you know, play with my decks. That's my babies. You know, so yeah, I started live streaming the first weekend we went to lockdown in March. Can't remember the date, but you know, so I did live streaming for 14 weeks during the first lockdown, every single Friday at the same time. So people kind of got used to that consistency.
Yeah.
So I managed to grow the following a little bit as well, but it was nice to know that the same people, the regulars that like my music and what I play and my kind of vibe, they were, you know, locking in at 7 p.m. every single Friday. I didn't need to promote it anymore that much. They were like, are you, you know, I would get messages on social media saying, so you're on at 7, we are ready with drinks and dancing shoes polished up and in our living rooms. And, you know, it was quite nice, and it kept my spirits up as well, rather than, you know, going into depression or something.
Yeah, I think it's really good. I mean, like you say, it's the continuation of like every week you're there, you know, people are locking in to you, you know, people want to party with you. They you know, they're there in spirit, and they're actually just online in their living rooms having a great time.
Yeah, and it's not the same, obviously, because in the club you feel, you get the vibe from the people because they are in front of you, and it's, you know, that's a thing for me, and I love that. I get the energy from these people. So it wasn't exactly the same while doing live stream, but somehow during the 14 weeks, I actually started to have this strange relationship with my laptop where I could see the comments, and people were like, yeah, we're dancing, and oh my God, a tune incoming. And I was like, oh yeah, I can feel you're in the room almost, although you're not, but you know, it was a great substitute, at least while we can't do the real deal. So yeah.
Yeah. Are you still live streaming now, or are you moving to Mixcloud? Because I think there's some new live stream rules and regulations happening, isn't there? Just like some more like fun sponges, and the fun police are out there trying to lock down on people.
Oh my goodness, there's so many of them. Yeah, I'm still on Twitch. I haven't been live streaming now because I went actually back to live gigging after the first lockdown. So I've just pretty much finished gigging again for the second lockdown. You know, so I haven't done any live streams since, because I just wanted to see. It's only, well, this should be only 1 month, so we are out of it in 2 weeks time, hopefully. You know, so I didn't plan to go back to live streaming because I thought, well, it's such a quick time, you know, I'll prepare for the gigs in the pipeline and yep, get my music sorted and focus on some production a little bit more, and then hopefully I'm back in the real world again soon.
So when as soon as lockdown is over for you guys, where are you gigging? Where can we find you? You know, where will you be? Where can your fans come and dance to your amazing tunes?
Yeah, I'll be back in Blossom Room, which is in Milton Keynes. So that's a venue where I have residency, and I'm there pretty much every weekend. So I will post dates on my website and my social media, but usually I'm there Fridays or Saturdays. And then obviously there's quite a few other venues I play for. I'm not sure how they will open after this lockdown is finished, so I still need to find out, but I'll definitely let everybody know on social media. So the usual venues where I've been playing before, plus there's quite a few. Obviously, everything is all about brunches now, isn't it? There's these daytime brunches because we have curfew, 10 p.m., you need to go home. So there's a few venues who have asked me if I'd like to do some daytime brunches, which I said, yes, of course, I would like to do that. So there might be a couple of new venues as well with this new kind of concept of daytime partying.
I love a daytime party. I really do. I think it's brilliant. I don't know. I mean, when I used to be back in the UK and living in London, I used to go to some of the daytime nightclub, well, not all night day club, but party club vibes. Yeah. Brilliant fun. Brilliant fun.
I love it. I think now it's difficult. I think we have to party from like 12 noon until 6 a.m. in the morning when the clubs open. So we have to go all the way through.
Yeah.
Whenever that's possible, you know, just to make up for the lost time.
Oh my God, I can't wait to go to a party and dance. It's been a little while now, and things are not looking like they're going to open up here in France for a little while. So maybe I should just get a flight back to the UK and come to brunch and come hang out with you.
Oh yeah, please do. Yes, you are invited. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, plus one.
yeah, you'll come and play with me and we can do B2B, can't we?
Oh my god, like we did here. For those of you that don't know, Sia's been over, was it two winters in a row now, on our Good Vibes Only show, Good Vibes Only winter tour. We've played at many a venue back to back and partied and drunk way too much, I think.
Yeah, drunk is the word. No, we are all professionals.
Oh no, 100%, yeah. No, it was such good fun. It was brilliant having you over here. Really was.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Oh my god, I can't wait to be back. You know, I was thinking, oh, in February I'm there, but yeah, maybe not this February, but hopefully very soon. Maybe we can do something in the summer. I don't know.
Oh yeah, well, that is definitely food for thought, dude. We'll have to work that out. So tell me more about I Am the Music.
Yeah, so I Am the Music is a collective that I founded with my partner Adam, and it's all about bringing together, it's actually quite similar to Good Vibes Only, you know, obviously with the difference being that Good Vibes Only is for female artists, DJs, producers and so forth, but I Am the Music, because my, just a little bit of background, so I'm a DJ, producer, my partner is a musician, so he plays guitar, he sings, he's a recording artist as well. So we thought, you know, we're kind of struggling with the same kind of challenges, both of us, like how to get more gigs, how to get more visibility in front of labels or promoters, people who book acts to their festivals and so forth. So we are kind of tackling these issues. And then we thought, well, how could we maybe brainstorm these challenges together? You know, I have my own knowledge, my own kind of experiences and so forth, and he has his own. But there must be others, you know, other artists who are struggling with the same thing, or they have more experience. They know already. So why not harness this knowledge? So we founded this collective, I Am the Music, that brings together artists, whether it's musicians, bands, DJs, producers. And then we bring together also, you know, radio presenters, TV presenters, or, you know, sound engineers, promoters, festival organizers, so all corners of the music industry basically coming together and helping each other to get to the next level. So that's our kind of mission and vision for the collective, so that we can all learn from each other. Whatever our skill set is, we can share that with everyone and then get further a little bit quicker than if we are just trying to, you know, work in a silo and try to get there on our own. Together we get further. So yeah, it's a team effort.
Yeah, it's amazing. You've done a couple of events in the UK. Didn't you have Billy Bunter as a speaker for was it your last one or the one before that?
I think it was, one before that. Yeah, we had our last one in February, just before lockdown, actually. Yeah so yes, Billy was there. He was amazing. He's so inspirational and he knows his stuff. He has so much experience. So everybody was like, I think we had 2 hours and, you know, we could have been there for 6 hours at least, or maybe 24 hours, just try and, you know, get more information from him and really kind of engage with his experiences. He's been in the rave culture for, is it 20 or 30 years, something insane. So he's like, he's a veteran. He knows, he knows what happens in the scene and he knows how it's done. So I was very honored to get him there as a speaker. Yeah.
And will you have any more events for I Am the Music moving forwards after lockdown? Is there anything in the pipeline? Or
yeah, definitely. We are actually planning right now. So we are putting our thinking hats on and planning for events once we come out of this lockdown. So yeah, definitely more events, most likely in London. Yeah. So yeah, we will let everybody know on our social media as well. But we have big plans and we want to bring the community together again, so definitely there's continuity there. Yeah
I think it's a great way, like you say, you know, together you can get so much more done than just on your own, and it's not about competing against other people, it's about working together for the same outcome.
I think so. I think this is the thing that some might get wrong, actually, because when I read articles or when I read social media posts and, you know, all this collateral that is out there, there's, you know, communities like ours and yours, Good Vibes Only as well, we want to work together. And I do believe, and I have seen it and I know it myself, that we get further by working together. not working on our own. But of course, there's this misconception that, oh, you're my competition. You're going to steal my ideas or my gigs. Or it's just completely insane way of thinking. It doesn't go like that. But I can see why you might think that. So we are trying to change that conversation and turn it around and educate people of the idea that actually, if you work together and share knowledge and contacts, networking and so forth, you will therefore have more opportunities as well.
Yeah, 100%. I 100% agree with you, because it is one of those things, and there are other people in the industry that do feel like it's a competition vibe, and it's not. No way, it's not. There is enough work for absolutely everybody, and we've all got our own voice, and we've all got our own personality and our own little vibe. But you know, you can learn so much from other people, and there's so many things that you may not have even thought about, or introductions to different avenues or gigs or bookings or people. And it's just working together. Be nice and work together.
Be nice and be kind, and it's amazing how far you can get. I mean, yes, like you say, there's enough for all of us, and there's whole world out there. It's just not my local area, you know. Like, you've invited me to play in France. This is amazing, you know. So just try, I guess we're just trying to open up people's horizons a little bit, thinking, you know, you don't have to just compete in your local area or think that this is competition. Actually, there's so many cities, so many areas, so many countries where all these venues are looking for DJs and talents to, you know, book and play. And there's so much to go around. But I think there are still these attitudes, negative thoughts, where people might think, well, we are competition and I can't talk to you and I can't tell you anything. But it's completely wrong. And I know our initiatives, yours and mine and Adam's, this will change the world.
Yeah, this will change the world.
We will change the world and change the conversation, you know?
Yeah, you heard it here first. No, it's true. I mean, I love a good gig swap, and I love playing with other people, and what that brings to, like, the whole outlook of the gig that you're doing is just unreal, and the vibe's really cool, and you just never know where these things are going to lead, do you? And that's the beauty of it. I mean, not like you say, you've been out here to me, I've been and played for you, like, we've done festival gigs that have happened, like, we've done seminars. I mean, like, the list is endless, really. Once you start to connect with somebody and share and just create something beautiful, really.
Yeah, no, it's so true. And you, ideas, when you put two wise heads together like ours, you know, lots of new ideas come across as well.
I always feel sorry for, like, Adam and my partner Joe when me and you get together. We're like, we should do this, we should do that. And the boys are like, oh my God.
I know, their ears are bleeding. But you know what? When we say we should do this, we actually do it. We do it, you know? We don't just talk. We like walk the walk, you know?
Yeah, mate. We make things happen. That is a fact.
Yeah. And I love that. I love, you know, like-minded people like you. And I know there's so many like-minded people like us who want to get, can I say shit done? Can I say it in your podcast?
I think so. Like,
we get shit done. And there's so many. And if there's more than two of us, three of us, four of us, imagine what we can do. There's a lot of power there. Yeah.
There is, yeah, world domination. And I think it's great for, like, up-and-coming DJs or up-and-coming producers or just anyone coming into the industry to hear about what we're talking about and to, you know, to get involved, because there's so much knowledge we can share and advice on do's and don'ts and things that we've done and we've learned the hard way. And there's, you know, it's really important.
It is, and I think there's lots of, obviously, individuals, because if you're a DJ, you are a DJ on your own. Or there might be duos, obviously, but majority of the DJs that I know are just their own little establishment, so to speak. So we are kind of alone with our stuff. So it's amazing to have this community, like you say, to share ideas, share thoughts, struggles. You know, there can be confidence issues, perhaps, and especially, you know, lots of females perhaps feel like, oh no, am I ready? Can I go? Can I start? Am I good enough? Am I in the right, you know, situation to go out there and play? Or, you know, I'm scared to ask this. I'm scared to do this. So community support is really, really important, because, you know, we might miss great talent just because they thought they weren't ready, and they were all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's the imposter syndrome, isn't it? Yes. People just don't believe in themselves. And actually, you know, I get that. I'm sure you probably get that sometimes. And then other times you're like, do you know what, dude? I'm absolutely smashing this. But it's helping the people. And especially if, like, I have a lot of women come up to me and say about, oh, they made a mistake on a gig, or they made a mistake at some set they played out, and they're like, oh my god, they're never gonna book me again. I'm like, no one was listening. Like,
no one noticed. No, we are so harsh on ourselves. We are like the worst critic, or the harshest critic of ourselves. Yeah. And I know I've made mistakes in gigs, like, loads of times, or mix. I think it was everybody noticed, and oh my god, this whole gig is ruined, and I need to go and jump out of the window right now, you know. But then when I asked my friends who were at the gig, they were like, that was amazing. Nobody notices these things. We are just really harsh on it ourselves, and that's the issue sometimes, you know. We are actually holding ourselves back.
Yeah, I mean, you got to laugh at yourself, really. I remember, I mean, many occasions I remember stopping the wrong deck. I've also had
I've done that.
Yeah, the elbow on the crossfader and all the music's gone off, and you're like, what's just happened? Like, at the end of the world. And then you look down, and you're like, I'm an idiot.
Oh, never mind. But it's like a couple seconds. Who's going to remember that? People are just like, oh yeah, we're back in dancing again, and you know, it's great.
And
it's
got you, like, put your hands up, and everyone's like, "Way!"
Yeah, it's like, I meant to do that. Commit to that. You're like, I'm committing to that. I meant to do that. I wanted attention. Yeah, let's just have a little shout. Yeah, fine. Put the data back.
It's so funny. You feel like you're dying behind the decks. I remember watching, where were we at? It was at a Shindig Festival. Would have been a couple of years back. And Madame Electrophy was playing with her evil twin. And they're both quite small, as in short. So they're on the, the flight cases. And she fell off the back and and stopped all the music. Everyone was like, well, she just disappeared. clambering back up and then, like, plugging back in. It was like, whee, party.
That should be filmed. It would go viral. That would be amazing. Exactly.
You know, these things happen, don't they? And I think as long as we stop beating ourselves up about the most ridiculous, like, it's not the end of the world, is it? Like,
it's really not. And you can flip it around, because I think that just shows people that you're a human. And we, as long as we are human, we will make mistakes. We will have these moments of error, and you know, it's okay. It's normal. We are not robots. You know, it's like, well, we can laugh about that. You can feel, I don't know, you just feel more kind of empathetic towards that brand that is there playing. You know, it's a human that is playing, you know. Yeah. And it just brings more emotion to it. And I like that. So, you know, I'm not saying let's keep on making mistakes, but if it happens, it doesn't matter. It's fine. We just move on and have a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. That is some great advice. You've got to laugh at the mistakes you've made over the years, for sure.
Yeah. And then, but also, you know, then you learn from your mistakes. You're like, oh yeah, you know, I remember that now, so I won't do that again. Or you're more aware of certain situations, you know? So yeah, it teaches you as well. If you don't ever make mistakes, how can you even know that you are doing really well?
How do you learn? Yeah. You know, exactly. I think you have to make a few to learn. I mean, obviously you need to be making sure your mixes are crisp, but if they're not, you need to work out how to get out of that situation fairly quickly. And I think that is a great lesson in itself, isn't it? Like,
yeah. You can improve yourself. There's always room for improvement, and you can learn from your mistakes, and then, you know, really kind of sharpen that side of the talent that you need to sharpen. So yeah, it's good.
That's cool. So are you doing any data transmission radio shows? Have you still got that ongoing?
Yes, I have. Yeah, I have one coming up, and it's the third Saturday of every month.
Okay, so third Saturday of every month. Cool.
Yeah, every third Saturday. So it's from 7 to 8 p.m. UK time. So yeah, that's a radio show I'm still doing. I'm just doing quite a few other radio shows, you know, as a guest DJ. So that's kept me busy during lockdown, which is always fun. But data transmission, that's my own show. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is really cool. It goes out to so many people. It's I think it's a great platform.
Yeah, it is. They have a really massive listener base, so I'm quite happy to have a show there. And it's as well consistent, you know, third Saturday of every month. And you can build up your audience, and then they kind of learn to expect the show and so forth. Yes, I have these guest DJing you know, guest mixes and so forth on other radio shows, but it's not consistent. So, yeah. So it's good to have something with consistency, especially whilst we are in this lockdown. So it's something, it's a platform where people can still hear me and find me and listen to my music. So, yeah.
That's really cool. And what about, are you still playing the bongos? What's going on? Is there any more musical instruments happening in your household at the moment? Or
Yeah, I have the bongos. I do bring them out sometimes.
The glittery bongos?
Yeah, bongos. Yeah, I love my bongos in the morning. And I haven't been bringing them to any gigs recently because of COVID. Thank you so much, COVID. But I'm sure I will bring them out to gigs again one day. And now I kind of bring them out just for fun and kind of making sure that I remember how to make beats with my bongos. So just for practice, really, and a bit of fun. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I think there's another little fact I know about you that most people don't. Sorry if I spit my words out. You've written many books. You've written two books.
Yeah. I don't know how that happened, but
yeah, tell us about that. I think it's really interesting.
Yeah, so that was I never thought I would be author. That sounds so posh, but I used to give myself like these yearly challenges, like do something new that is out of your comfort zone. And then that was a few years ago now, must have been 3 or 4 years ago now, that I wrote my first book, and that was my challenge for myself. I said, Saya, you will write a book. That's it. And I had no idea how to do it, like where to even start. So I got a mentor. Actually, she's a good friend of mine. She's an author and she's written like millions of books and she's very successful and all of that stuff. So I had a few mentoring sessions with her for a few months in order to just to find out what's the process of writing a book and then, you know, never mind publishing it, you know, how do I do that? And yeah, so she mentored me and then I started writing and I wrote about entrepreneurship. My first book was about being an entrepreneur. I've been an entrepreneur now for 10 years, a little bit over 10 years.
Yeah.
So running my own businesses and so forth. So I wrote about that because it was like, I know this stuff. It's in my brain. I have lived this life. Yep. So how can I share? Again, same kind of mission as I am the music, you know, how can I share my knowledge and my experiences to other people who potentially want to be entrepreneurs? So I thought, if I write a book about it and somebody wants to buy it, then, you know, they will find out what the process is and what my experience is. And I share my knowledge and my little secrets, on starting a business and what to think about all the challenges and struggles and wins and all of that stuff I share in that book. So it was really fun project to do. I think it took me about 8 months from start to end to write, and then I published it in Amazon and crossed my fingers, you know, that someone would find it.
Yeah.
so that was my first book and I really enjoyed that. It's still on Amazon actually.
Yeah.
And then the second book was a year after, because I discovered, again, like DJing, you know, I discovered that I really have this passion for writing and I have passion for playing music, which was the DJing side of thing. I didn't know I had this little writer in me. I think we have to explore, like really go out of your comfort zone to find what really is inside you. You don't realize how much talent there might be inside you before you jump out of your comfort zone, you know,
like you don't realize how creative you can be until you've jumped out,
until you push yourself and try. Yeah. Like, don't be scared of trying something new. If it's not for you, if you find like, oh, actually that wasn't really my thing, then okay, let's move on to the next one, you know. But I really enjoyed writing, so I thought, well, I'm gonna write book number two. So
that's so cool.
So that came about year and a half after. It's called The Art of Doing. Like you and me, like we just said, get shit done. I was actually debating if I should call it that. But then my mentor said, maybe call it The Art of Doing, you know, because the other one is a little bit offensive.
Yeah. That is true.
So, yeah. So I call it the art of doing. And it's all about, you know, yes, getting out of your comfort zone and bringing your dreams to reality and how to actually do it, how to be productive in your everyday life, like every day. What is your routine and how to make good habits as routines in your life. So, you know, how to be really productive. That's what it's all about, really.
That's really cool. So what's the first one called? You didn't tell us what the first one was called.
It's called The Modern Female Entrepreneur.
Okay. And that's on Amazon, and they're both on Amazon. So if anyone wants a book to read or a Christmas present, go to Amazon.
Thank you. Wink, wink.
Yeah, a little plug.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it.
No worries. What I'll do is I'll add the Amazon links into the show notes.
Woo! Oh, amazing. Thank you. Yeah, maybe that could be a little giveaway, you know?
Hey, yeah, give a book away. It's a great idea. I mean, yeah, everybody needs to learn more. I mean, there isn't enough hours in the day that are available to us to keep learning, is there? So
yeah, and they are available on Kindle and hardback. And it's not like you don't have to read like 500,000 pages. It's quite snappy and straight to the point and actionable tips and tricks and guidance that you can start implementing today. So it's not fluffy, you know.
Oh, great. Sounds amazing. I need a copy of this book. Hang on a second. How come I haven't had a copy of
this? I'll send it to you.
So what's in the pipeline apart from hopefully a couple of weeks you'll be back at Blossom Room, then gigging. When's your next release coming out?
So my next release from Sick Tone Records should be out. They haven't let me know exact date.
Okay.
Because they like to be secretive and keep me on the edge. But there is a EP coming out, and I do believe it should come out in December, like a Christmas EP thing. So hopefully December, if not January. But I do think they want to kind of ride the Christmas hype and all of that stuff. So most likely December, but I don't know about the date yet. But there will be a couple of my tracks on that EP, After Dark and Night Tribe, which is a really cool tech house track, I think. And After Dark is kind of, you know, it's a little bit more bouncy, disco-y, club vibe. So, yeah, those two tracks are coming out December from Sick Tone. And then I have another one, which is probably going to come out January. It's called Lockdown, so inspired by lockdown, obviously. And that should come out in Ride Music in January. Yeah.
That's amazing. And you've been on the BBC, was it the BBC Six Music?
BBC Introducing, yeah.
BBC Introducing, yeah. You've been on a couple of times, haven't you? I'm sure I've seen a few posts from you.
Yeah. My tracks have been played a few times on that show by Jaguar. Thank you, yeah. Jaguar. But I also got to do a 20-minute or 25-minute mini-mix. So I got to play all of my tracks.
Amazing. You know,
most of them. So that was really cool to have that airtime, which is a big deal for me at this stage. So, yeah, it was really exciting. I think that was back in October. But it's still in the archives, and I have it on, I think I have it on my Mixcloud as well. So, yeah, that was really cool to do. And really honored to be invited to Jaguar show. So yeah,
it's pretty impressive. I mean, if you think about it, you've written two books, you play the bongos, you've set up your own label, you started producing, you've got track signed to two labels as well as your own, you've got resident DJ slots, many a live stream following, a resident radio session on data transmission. Mate, what else is there? What's left?
Oh my God, when you actually list them, I'm like, did I do that? You know, this is the thing, you know, because we are living our own lives and we're like, okay, now I've done that. Now I'm going to move on to the next one. Now I'm going to do the next challenge. Now I'm going to have a stab at that. We don't actually stop and be grateful to our achievements. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now just when you spelled those out, I was like, oh my God, yeah, I should give myself a pat in the back, but because I don't think about it that way, you know, I'm just like, how can I get further? And what do I need to do next? And, you know, all of that stuff. So, Yeah, it's been exciting journey, and I can't believe I've done all that, to be honest, you know.
I'll give you a virtual high five.
it's really cool, and I'm really grateful that I've been able to do all that. And yeah, hopefully I can do much more, you know. I'm just at the start. I hope bigger things are coming, and I'm going to work really hard to ensure that, you know, there's an opportunity to at least try and make something really, really cool happen in the future. Yeah.
I mean, I look forward to that, mate. I can't imagine what's any cooler, what would be any cooler than what you're doing now. Excuse me. Like, it's amazing. Oh
my, you know what my dream for years has been, you know, if I say it out loud, hopefully it will happen. So I'm going to say it out loud.
I would love
to play in Tomorrowland. I would love to play. You know, yes.
Mate, it's out there. You know, I think you have to put your dreams out there. You have to project where you want to go, what you want to do. Because unless you hear yourself say it, I don't think you truly believe it's going to happen. Right.
You know what? I think you're so right. And I have this morning, this sounds completely crazy. And I might have told you at some point, but now there's listeners, so I'm going to tell them as well. I have this morning mantra. Have I told you that? The morning mantra.
But tell us again. Tell us again.
Anyway, I have this morning mantra because I have this really cool Indian friend. She's very spiritual, and you know, I am more spiritual now, but I didn't really maybe believe in that, or I was too busy to think spiritual stuff. I was just like, just get things done, you know what I mean? And she told me, she took me to this spiritual place and spiritual world where you stop and think. And then you make things happen. But you, in order to do that, you have to have really clear vision in your head. You have to silence all the noise in your head. And then you have to promise yourself that this is what I'm going to do. And this is how I will do it. And this is what's going to happen. So she introduced me to this morning mantra concept, which I actually still religiously do every day. And I've done it for many years now. So every morning I say out loud what I want to happen today or this week, but hopefully today, you know, the sooner the better. So something positive, even if it's just a small thing, not like I want to play in Tomorrowland, I want the booking today, you know, that's a little bit crazy, but just small things that will lead up to that big dream that you want to bring to life. So it's every day I wake up and the first thing I do, I say my morning mantra, what little thing, what little win I want to achieve today. Yeah. And then if I do that, if that comes to life, because I believe it, I've said it, I will work whole day ensuring it happens. And then I continue tomorrow to another thing that is part of the bigger picture, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's like a little bite-sized goals, isn't it, basically?
Yes, exactly. So you build up towards the big goal by achieving little goals, micro goals in between. So don't, like, there's so many people who just want to get from A to B, you know, you want to. Like DJs, we are very ambitious, and producers, we wonder, oh, you know, we released a track and then we are wondering like, oh, well, I'm not on, you know, I'm not on the TV yet, or I haven't got a call from Tomorrowland's bookers or promoters, like what's happening? But actually it's a journey. You have to build your way up there and you can have these little wins. It's not disappointing if you're not reaching your biggest goal straight away. You know, it's about the small wins in between. And then who knows where you are in a couple of years' time because you have consistently worked hard on those micro goals in between.
Yeah, I think I 100% agree with you. I 100% agree with you. It's funny. I mean, we've got a lot of drive. We've got a lot of ambition. But sometimes we just need to take a little step back, have a little word with ourselves and just start plugging away, like digging that hole slowly every day until we get to the treasure at the bottom, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I was watching Indiana Jones last night and, he was searching for the Holy Grail. And I was like, yeah, I'm on that mission.
Yeah, Tomorrowland is your holy grail.
It is. Yeah.
Wow, watch this space, people. You heard it here first. Like, check the lineup next year.
Next year or the following, you know. Just what? Check it every year consistently.
Check it, yeah.
one day there will be SAYA, I hope.
Yeah, mate. If anyone can do it, you can. Like, literally. You put your mind to something, you get shit done. This is how we
with the help of people like you and the communities that we are part of, you know, it happens with the help. It doesn't happen because of you, it happens because of the people around you as well. So we cannot forget that.
Yeah, that is very, very true. So how can everybody get hold of you? I've got Instagram, House of Sire. We've got your website, houseofsire.com.
Yeah. Everything is pretty much House of Sire.
Yeah.
So House of Saya. So on Facebook, it's the same handle. Instagram, same handle, House of Sire. Twitter.
Okay.
TikTok. SoundCloud, Mixcloud. If you search for House of Sire, you will basically find me on all of the platforms. I've tried to keep my branding consistent, which is important as well. So whichever platform you go to is the same name. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's been so much fun. This really cheered my day up. Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, it's been a highlight of my day. Well, I've been looking forward to speaking to you all week, to be honest, having a little catch up.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, and fingers crossed we get to kind of hang out at some point this winter, if not in the summer, mate. We will make something work where we are behind the decks together.
Oh my God. Away. I know, we have such energy. I think people love to watch us. We go like cuckoo and crazy.
Yeah, we do.
I'll bring the bongos out as well.
Oh my God. Brilliant. Okay, well, have a great week, and we will be putting your podcast live next Thursday, which is all very exciting. No, sorry, a week on Thursday, which is all very exciting. And if anybody's interested, they can catch up on last week's podcast issue, which will be with Eve Horn from Peak Music. And then before that, we've got China Luan. So once again, thank you so much, Sire, and we will speak soon.
Speak to you soon. Thank you.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Hustle, industry advice for women in music. Thanks again for taking the time to listen to this podcast. Please, please, please follow, subscribe, rate and give us a review. Help us to move up in the iTunes chart so that we can bring you more and more amazing guests. Thanks again. For more info on what we're up to, please check out our website, www.goodvibesonlymusic.com. Peace, love, and good vibes always. See you next week.